New data on what income inequality takes from people's paychecks. I'm David Brancaccio. President Trump is expected to sign an executive order today directing federal agencies to prioritize vaccines to Americans over people from other countries at a time that available doses will be limited. But there are questions about the practical effect of this. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here.
President Trump is expected to sign the order during a White House summit today being held to explain vaccine distribution plans. Per one official, the order would lead federal agencies to develop guidelines for when they can help other countries get vaccines after demand in the U.S. is met. That's not expected to happen soon. Pfizer's vaccine is first to the finish line. The FDA expected to grant it emergency use authorization as early as the end of this week. But Pfizer is having supply chain issues, David. It says it'll have enough vaccine only for 25 million people globally by the end of this year.
And vaccine companies already did their contracts with various countries. Can a presidential order do much?
Well, there's conjecture as to whether this is more of a symbolic measure. The manufacturing process is faster for modern mRNA-based vaccines, such as the ones Moderna and Pfizer have developed. So the U.S. has deals for 100 million doses from both companies. That'll come at some point. The timeline stretches into next year. Remember, we also have logistical challenges. So that's all coming probably sometime by mid-next summer is what U.S. officials are expecting.
Thank you, Nova. Pfizer's stock is up 0.8% with news this morning from the FDA that the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine human testing data has met the criteria for success. As Nova mentioned, formal approval for this first of the vaccines could come late this week. BioNTech stock is up about 2%, yet the Dow is down a bit, 30 points, 0.1%. The S&P 500 down 0.2%, the NASDAQ down 0.3%. A cautious stance makes some sense here. The chief economist at the investment company Payden & Riegel, Jeffrey Cleveland, sees it this way.
I think there are a lot of things to worry about, David. Chief among them, the lack of progress out of Washington on additional fiscal stimulus. I don't think the market likes that. There's concerns across the pond with regards to the Brexit negotiations. So we have some looming uncertainty here in a week, which, as you know, is the week after the all-important jobs report. And generally speaking, that's a week of lighter economic data that doesn't give us a real clear signal either. So markets here in a bit of a holding pattern.
Economist Jeffrey Cleveland. Pandemic cocooning has produced a golden age for video game companies, but with people downloading games instead of buying the little boxes, what does that mean for retailers like GameStop, which reports its quarterly results today? Here's Andy Euler.
More and more, buying a new video game is kind of like renting or buying a movie on your TV. Once a title comes out, you can download it to your console and play it immediately. But Michael Pachter at Wedbush Security says there are still a lot of people who buy the physical product.
Some people actually don't have internet access on their consoles. They have them in a basement or an attic. Some people like to give their discs away when they're done. Some people like to take them to their friend's house and play with their friends.
And some people sell games back to GameStop to recoup some of the cost. Jos van Droinen at NYU says stores like GameStop have benefited from being a kind of showroom for new consoles and new games, which publishers and manufacturers love. But he says that model is getting old.
If you continue to pretend that the internet isn't a real component to the business and a place where people learn about content and want to try it and then want to spend on it, you're going to only see your business model shrink.
He says game manufacturers are now equipping their systems with more memory so that players can download new titles and bypass the store. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Today we're talking to a Rand Corporation mathematician who crunched the inequality numbers and found that the typical or median full-time worker is getting shorted by $42,000 a year as the most affluent thrived since the mid-1970s. Think the decline of unions, think globalization. But now to one of the people who funded this Rand research, Nick Hanauer is a venture capitalist and entrepreneur turned progressive campaigner.
I mean, I think the study is really transformational because for the first time, we can sort of see what happened to working people at every level of the economy, from the very bottom to the very top. And the median full-time worker in America today earns about $50,000 a year. If they had been held harmless by the last 45 years of neoliberal economic policy, they would earn between $92,000 and $100,000 a year. I think that that gap is the most important socioeconomic fact of our time, because it explains not every pathology in our society, but a huge proportion of them, from our budget deficits to our surreally polarized politics.
If income inequality had not widened starting in the mid-1970s, someone who brings in $50,000 a year now would be making almost double.
Correct. We basically went from a society where one earner could support a family to a society where two earners are required to support a family. But for the vast majority of citizens, we doubled the number of earners in the households, but went economically backwards, right? And the other really shocking thing about the data is that even if you're earning $133,000 a year, instead of earning $133,000, you'd earn $168,000. Literally, the only people who won over the last 40 years are people largely in the top 1%, 0.1%, 0.01%. Everybody fell behind except the richest, which explains why everyone is so angry.
Mr. Hanauer, you're a venture capitalist. What happened to you? Why are you talking this way?
The wealth of the country is increasingly captured by this tiny minority of people at the very tippy top, including myself. It's just absolutely mathematically certain that the society will collapse economically, and it will collapse politically, and it will collapse civically. If we are not prepared to address this problem at the scale of the problem, no one has a bigger stake in our future success than people like me. Like, I would like to live in a high-functioning society where everyone is thriving. It's just good for business.
Nick Hanauer is venture capitalist, entrepreneur, and host of the podcast Pitchfork Economics. Thank you very much.
Super fun to be here. Thank you, David.
Among remedies, a higher minimum wage is often mentioned, right? And less talked about, Hanauer says making more people eligible for overtime pay could have a bigger effect than you might think, raising compensation or encouraging employers to hire more people. Reimagining the economy is our ongoing look at ways to go beyond repairing what the pandemic has done to the economy. Our coverage is collecting at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.